The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We come to verse number 2 tonight. I told you that in verse number 2, Jehovah Shalom comes before us. The Lord is my peace. The Lord has been our provider in verse 1. He's been our shepherd in verse 1. Jehovah Rara, Jehovah Jireh, and now Jehovah Shema. Shalom is the word that's used in Israel. You get off a bus in Israel, you walk into a home in Israel, you walk into an apartment in Israel, you walk down a street in Israel, you speak to someone in Israel, and their word to you is shalom. Peace. Peace. Not hello, but peace. Shalom. In this verse, the sheep is brought to the green pastures. Now, we talked a bit about this in our last meeting. But when this shepherd takes his sheep to the green pastures, and the scripture says, makes them lie down. They don't just lay down. He makes them or causes them to lie down in the green pastures. Something, just as a little side note here, green is one of the most comforting colors to the eyes. It's a calming color. When we were children, I don't know what they do today, but when we were kids, our classrooms were what color? Green. Green. You know why they were green? It was to keep us calm and help us to concentrate, be able to think. It's just that kind of a color. It's the mixture between blue and yellow. And it literally encompasses so many of the colors that there's no use even talking about it. But it is that comforting color to the eye. It also speaks of growth. What are we going to see in a few days on these mountainsides? In our gardens and so on. Green. The color green begins to come back. And as that green begins to come back, you'll notice that people get to feeling better. Isn't that something? There's reasons for that I'm not going to get into. But when the shepherd brings this sheep to the green pastures, he is supplying that sheep psychologically with what he needs in order to digest the food that he has taken in. Would to God, that we would get a hold of what God has done in nature and put that to work in our spiritual lives, I think we'd find out that we could grow far better and be a whole lot calmer when the circumstances arise that would normally cause us to lose it, so to speak. I've often wondered if we're really trusting the Lord when we lose it. Hello? I don't think we are. I think we're looking at circumstances rather than looking at the God of the circumstances. It is far more important that we lift our gaze above the horizon rather than below the horizon. For below the horizon, circumstances are bad, aren't they? But above the horizon, everything is all right. It's okay. God is in control. Let's talk about this little sheep for a few moments going to this green pasture. The green pasture offers many things. I'm just going to list a few of them for us tonight. First of all, the green pasture offers refreshment. Where are the green pastures? Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to hair-lip the radio audience. It probably won't hurt you bad, but it's going to hair-lip some folks listening. God never leads us except to green pastures. He never leads us to the dried up grass. He never takes us to those places where we cannot be refreshed in our spirit. Years ago, one of my seminary professors, so you know it's been a while, one of my seminary professors said to me, "Larry, you're never going to pastor a big church." Well, he missed that. But he said, "Just stay right here, keep on preaching like you're preaching, knock out the walls, and build again, because God doesn't waste His men, and God doesn't waste His pasture." That stuck with me down through the years. Dr. Smith told me that. Now, think with me for a moment. There are churches multiplied about us, but how many green pastures are there? How many places are there that we can actually go and be refreshed? Green grass refreshes us. Dead grass depresses us. God would not have His children to be depressed, but God would have us to be excited about the good things of God. God would have us to grow in grace rather than stagnate in grace. Do you understand what I said to you? Do I need to spell this out any further? God only leads us to green pasture. I've often had issue with the signs on bumpers and along the highways where it says, "Attend the church of your choice." I want to get out and write one of my special words beneath that: puke. We need to attend the church of God's choice. And when we're in the church of God's choice, we're in the green pasture. We're going to be refreshed in this green pasture. Now let me assure you, though Gary Montgomery is my brother, if I came to this place and I was not being refreshed, I'd go somewhere else. I told people that attended Nassau Baptist Temple, I said, if you can't be refreshed here, if God isn't speaking to you here, if you can't rejoice with us here, then go somewhere else. You see, you're doing two things. You're hampering the growth of others because you're a sucker. You know what a sucker is? How many of you grow tomatoes? Do you sucker your tomatoes? I knew somebody would say, "What is that?" When you sucker your tomatoes, you're cutting off those sprouts that are just taking the energy from the stalk rather than feeding the stalk. God's people are not suckers. God's people are the vine and the branches. Say amen right there. Amen. We are that produces the fruit from the vine in reality. We're not suckers. We're not wild growth. Suckers will never do you any good. When God sends people to the assembly, those people come into the assembly and rejoice in what they're getting. They realize that they're in a green pasture and they're getting every bit of the green grass they can get, and they are ruminating in the shade, going over that God's given them. There's a lady in Florida that actually we met over the radio, and precious lady. Her husband passed away a few years ago, and she's just a precious lady. I try to call her at least once a week. And I called her the other day, and she said, "Guess what I've been doing all day long?" I said, "What have you been doing?" She said, "I've been listening to this Psalm 23. She said, "I'm going to get all the good out of this that I can." I thought, hallelujah. Glory. Isn't that what God wants us to do? I appreciate the Word of God because it is never dormant in our lives. It's never dormant in our minds. It's always pregnant and it's always producing and reproducing, saying more to us time after time after time. You'll never get tired of the Word of God if you're a child of God. Never. Never. As a matter of fact, you'll desire the green pastures. You want to get to the green grass. You want to get to the still waters. You want to be a follower of the shepherd. The green pastures provides refreshment. Not only, oh, by the way, Simon Peter speaks of those times of refreshing sent from the Lord. I love that. I love that. There are times that we go to church and God skins us out, right? And then there are times we go to the house of God and we're just so refreshed when we leave because we've met with the Holy Ghost and He has given us something to go on for the remainder of the week. Amen. Glory! Amen. The times of refreshing sent from the Lord. Not the times of refreshing sent from the preacher and the choir and the singers and all that stuff, but the times of refreshing sent from the Lord. Listen, what you get from individuals won't last you down the steps out there. But if God gives it to you, he'll go home with you. You'll come back with it next week and the next week and the next, and it'll just stay right there. Times of refreshing sent from the Lord. So the green pastures refreshes us. Secondly, not only are we refreshed, but we're renewed. I love to go to the house of God and meet with God in His house. Now, I can shout in my study. I can rejoice in the garage. I can shout it out hoeing beans. Not as much as I used to. I can rejoice in whatever I'm doing. But there's something different about the corporate worship of God's people. And when we go to the house of God and God renews us, I've often said, and your pastor has often said, we ought never leave the way we came to church. It just ought not be so. If we go to the house of God laboring under a weight of sin, or laboring under a burden that we have no business being under anyhow, if we leave there with that, then we've come for no purpose at all. I'll tell you the truth. I wonder why people go to church nowadays in most places. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. I promise you before God, I would not do it. If those places that I have experienced being in, lack of spiritual power, everything but the Word of God being taught and preached, I don't have time for that. I've been down the road too far. I'll get in my study on my knees with my book, and God and I will have us a time, say amen right there, and I'll be renewed. But oh, thank God for those places where God has chosen to put His name. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Where God has chosen to put His name.
Yes.
Not where man has chosen to put God's name, but where God has chosen to put His name. That's what God said to the children of Israel. You sacrifice, you worship where I choose to put my name. Do you mean to tell me that God has certain places for a man to worship and they just will not? I'm telling you that that's exactly so. God has places where he has put his name, and there are other places that Ichabod is written over the door, and you couldn't get a spiritual grunt or a spiritual touch in a place like that if you tried to conjure it up. Hello? Thank God for the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that we're living in a generation that has no knowledge of the Holy Spirit? We're living in a generation of religious people that have never been touched with the Spirit of God. They've never been quickened by the Spirit of God to begin with. You see, we don't come into the household of faith unless the Holy Ghost does His work in our lives. And when the Holy Ghost births us, I like to think of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've had a lot of preachers call me down for this, and kind of rake me over the coals, but it hadn't changed my mind. I look at the Holy Ghost as the mother in this Godhead. Now, you think about what I'm saying to you. Here's how I see God working in our lives. God wraps us in His womb. Jesus compared the natural and the spiritual birth in John chapter 3. And that spiritual birth and that natural birth both have a conception. That's the point when the seed is sown in our hearts spiritually. That seed has to grow. That's the embryonic growth of a child of God. He is now wrapped in the womb of God. God is nourishing him. God is helping him to hear things he never heard, feel things he never felt. Now he's tasting the good things of God. Now he's feeling the good things of God. And God is developing him in the womb for the birth. And just as sure as the seed is sown, there's going to be a birth. God's never had a breech birth. There's never been a miscarriage. Everyone is birthed on time, at His time, every time. Amen. Glory. And God births that child into the world. And the mother nourishes that child. Amen. The good Holy Ghost, that mother image of God, nourishes us. What does the child look for first when he's birthed into this world? Mother's breast, right? Where does God send us when he births us into the household of faith? The very breast of God, where he feeds us with the milk so we begin to grow and develop, and then gives us the meat later on down the road. But the Holy Ghost is doing that. God's Holy Ghost didn't go to sleep when we were birthed into this world. Thank God He's still caring for us every step of the way. And He's going to take us home to glory. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to have a friend like that? Isn't it good to have someone who's going to stay with you no matter what you do, no matter where you go? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I hope you'll get a hold of that. Everywhere I go, He goes with me. Many an old sot, many an old sinner, in the dregs of sin, the Holy Ghost has gone and brought them out of that. And though some of us may not be able to say that we were in the dregs, let me tell you something. We were as guilty as those in the dregs. And the good Holy Ghost came and rescued us and brought us out of that. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, that He takes us to the house of God and renews us. Gives us something fit to take the house. Thirdly, He takes us into the green pastures and gives us rest. I wonder how many of us, now let's get a literal picture here for a moment. How many of us have, from time to time, especially in our youth, have found a place where the grass is rather tall and green, and we just kind of laid down and enjoyed the cushion of the grass and the goodness of God in that particular place. God lets us rest in the midst of everything that's around us. Let me tell you where the sheep's rest comes from. The sheep's rest comes from the presence of the shepherd. Every sheep was aware of the dangers around him. Now listen to what I'm telling you. And being aware of the dangers around him, he could hear the wild beast as they roared and growled at night. He could hear the hissing of the serpent. But then the shepherd began to sing. He giveth songs in the night. The shepherd begins to play and to sing. And instantly, the fear of all those circumstances leave the little sheep, and he rests peacefully because he knows the shepherd is near. I don't know of a greater promise than our Lord gave us when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There will never be a time that you can't rest in him. Now I know our minds get befuddled and cluttered with the garbage that's going on in this world. There was a time that I got so politically involved that I was a nervous wreck most of the time. And God had to take me aside and show me that my first and foremost position was to feed the sheep. And God rested my soul in this thought: He is in control. Now hell's popping around us, and we have in the White House undoubtedly one of the sorriest men that has ever been conceived in this world. And I make no apology for that. And I don't mind telling you, the God of heaven is entirely in control, and He knows what, where, and when. And He's going to rest us in spite of all that mess. In the Old Testament, trying to think of the text, I know what it says. Anyway, it says, my people come aside and rest a while. Come aside and rest a while. I think that's a picture of the time of the tribulation when God's people are resting while all hell is breaking loose on the face of this earth. But I also believe that it is a rest for us to realize that God's in control and we can just relax and let Him handle it. Now that doesn't mean that we don't do the best we can do in the circumstances, but I'm not going to get upset about it to the point that I have been in days gone by. I know God's in control. Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord. And let me give you one more, let me go to the house. The green pasture replenishes us. Now there's a difference in being rested and refreshed and being replenished. Do you understand that? I don't know about you, but when I was pastoring, and especially pastoring and running all over the country and doing meetings and running back home for the weekend and heading out again on Monday morning to go have do another meeting and so on, I got to the point to where I was just physically and spiritually exhausted. I got to the point to where I needed somebody to preach to me a little bit because I needed to be replenished. You can give out so long and then you don't have anything else to give. But when God takes us to the green pastures and replenishes the supply, it's just like dropping the bucket into the well and sinking that bucket. I remember as a boy, we'd go up Paps, Gary, you remember this, go up Paps and drop that bucket down in that well. You learn how to kick that rope, that bucket turn up and go down in that water, full bucket of water out of there. I never was satisfied if the bucket was half full. If it's half full, I poured it back in the well and sent the bucket down again. Are you listening to me? When I go to the house of God, I'm not satisfied. Are you listening? I'm not satisfied to leave there with my bucket half full. I want it full and run it over.
Amen.
Let it drip off the sides and slosh off the sides and wet somebody else. That's all we're doing anyway. Do you understand that? That's all I'm doing right here tonight. It's exactly what I'm doing. God just fills me up and I just slosh around a little bit and throw a little bit of it on you. And hopefully that'll refresh you and replenish you and help you to go out and face the issues you're going to have to face this week. We live in a real world. I don't know if you know that or not. We don't live in a make-believe world. We live in a real world, as our brother said this morning, in a world that hates us. Oh, they'll coy up to us if they think they can get something out of us. But that's, hey, look at here. They hate you. They don't want you around. And if they can get rid of you, they will. But the Lord replenishes us. I don't understand people who claim the name of Christ and don't have a desire to go to the green pastures. They're satisfied with the dead grass, satisfied with rummaging hither, thither, and yon. No, no, no. God doesn't lead us there. God takes us to the green pastures. And in those green pastures, God replenishes us. He rests us and refreshes us, restores us, if you will, and brings us back so we will be useful for His glory. Isn't it good to have a God that doesn't just leave us out here to starve to death, but literally, literally takes us into those green pastures? Thank you, Lord Jesus.